we want to welcome you to our services this morning. And this has been, if you're new to us this morning and tuning in far and wide, we want to say aloha. We are in this series that we started a couple weeks ago. It's entitled God's Kingdom in Hawaii, where we're looking back and we're celebrating the 200th anniversary of the first missionaries who would set foot and respond to God's call to make disciples of all nations. And they came all the way from Boston, Massachusetts, around the South Africa. Eventually, 6 months later, they would step on the shores and see the people that in God's perfect timing, in the void, the spiritual void that they had because the kapu system was broken, now could be open to hearing the good news of Yesu Christo, Jesus Christ. So if you're here, we want to welcome you. And today is the third message in this series. We started out with the person that really had the heart and soul of this mission, who never got to actually come back and share with his own people. That was Henry, and you, as you have heard, as Pastor Mike kicked off the series, it was Henry Opu Kaha Ia. He was the first one that really wanted his people to be saved. And then last week you heard an amazing story of the man who would become Hawaii's first, or I would say Honolulu's first pastor. That was Hiram Bingham. And Pastor Mark, you did a great job, an excellent job in just really sharing about his heart to really make it so that God and his word, right? Remember his vision that he gave us with that kukuina lamp, that the lamp of God, that light of God would be spread down so that all people in Hawaii could hear the good news of Jesus. And that was last week. Well, I want to share with you, again, the call for the mission, the missionaries, and what they were given that task to do from the beginning of the time that that first team was established. But today, we're going to be looking at this person. His name is Elisha Loomis. Can you say his name? Elisha Loomis. Okay, well, who is the Elisha Loomis in the story of the first missionary team? Well, he was a printer. And along with him was a printing press that came along with him. And so we'll be hearing about God's amazing tool that was brought to Hawaii and how that was used to bring the people closer to God. So I want you to read with me. This was the charge and the mission for the first mission team, as we heard in the past. But I want you to read it loud and together to hear and the heart behind the first missionaries, I guess, focus for the island. So if we can read it together, ready, go. You are to aim at nothing short of what? Covering those islands with fruitful fields and pleasant dwellings and schools and churches, of raising up the whole people to an elevated state of Christian civilization. If you, you know, just think about that. An elevated state of Christian civilization. Well, that was their BHAG, as we call it, their big, audacious, hairy goal. That was their vision statement, and they really, really wanted to accomplish that through God's help. And today, we get to hear about how the missionaries raised up the whole people to an elevated state of Christian civilization. Now, some of you here would say, well, and some of the people out in Hawaii would argue, well, that change wasn't all that positive. And also, that change came pretty quickly to the old ways of Hawaii. Really, that tidal wave came really quickly. But what we can be sure of is we cannot deny that the good news of Jesus Christ and Makualani, our Heavenly Father, would be received by so many. And because of those early missionaries, Hawaii was never the same because Jesus had come to Hawaii. And again, among those first people that came on that mission team was the printer, Elisha Loomis. And I just want you to see, you know, we took a trip, excursion with the pastoral staff to the Hawaiian mission homes. And how many of you have been to the Hawaii mission homes on an excursion before or on your own? Raise your hand. Okay, most of us in fourth grade in your Hawaiiana class, you guys go and have a field trip there. And if you haven't, I would say it would be a good time to go and check out the Hawaii Mission Homes Museum. It's part of our Christian heritage, and that's where it all started. And in one of the rooms there is a replica of the Ramage Printing Press that was brought down in the Thaddeus that came down many years ago. And of course, that's a replica, and because the original one was used to a point where it became broken. And you may be thinking, why was a printing press so important for the Christianization or Jesus to come to Hawaii? Just think about in 1820, right? And even a little before that, when the missionaries came, or even before the missionaries, that they were traders that came, right? Hawaii had no written language. It was a nation that had an oral tradition. Everything was passed down from stories to stories, or they would have chants called olis, where they would pass down information. Or some of you would go and then, you know, to the Big Island, maybe some places over here, and there would be you know, pictures on the in rocks, right? What would you call them? Those are petroglyphs, right? Right, and like some stories there, but really they did not have a written language. They were not literate in our understanding of literacy. See, they never have a book, no more book, no more, and because no more book, no more pencil, right? And no need paper. That's how the society was back then. That's how what the people were living like in that time. And see, for the good news to be spread, Henry Opukuhaia knew that, you know, he had learned literacy when he went and learned, when he went first went to the mainland. And he said, you know, my people need to learn as well as I do. They need to read and write. And in order for the good news to be spread, people need to become literate. And you're thinking, literacy for you, that we take that for granted, because from the time we are 4 years old, 3 years old, we are already reading, right? We're going to school. Our parents are teaching us, reading to us, and we are learning to read. Well, that was not the case. And we got to, again, go on that place and just think about it. Just think about what brings literacy, right? Alphabets need to be put to print, and so then we can actually read something. And eventually, what we read, then we learn to write. And just think about how a printing press is run. You know, when you think about press, you're thinking right now, press in the modern day, that's what it's on the news, right? On the TV. Well, they actually had to physically press typeset, and each type is a letter or a word, and they had to actually fit it, typeset that, right? And then they had to ink blot that, right? And then it's a painstaking process to get even one sheet of paper. It's not talking about multiple sheets like this. You're talking about actual press, and they had to pull the lever, and one page would be printed. And that's how it took place, where the actual press had to take shape in order for something to be printed. And I want to have you see, this is a placard that's outside of them. You can't read it right now, but you can have an idea what's being celebrated at the Hawaii Missions Home there. Because it's the missionaries and Ali'i collaborated to develop a written Hawaiian language. And they came out with the first alphabet there, but it was key, that the key to literacy in Hawaii was the fact that the ali'i, the ruling class, the chiefs and the chiefesses, were key in saying Hawaii will become a literate kingdom. You see, the missionaries promised a printing press to teach, they call literacy palapala. Can you say palapala? Yeah, palapala was reading and writing. And because liholiho, as we learned the other week, liholiho, that's Kamehameha II, and the regent mom, right, Ka'ahumanu, it was well documented that liholiho had learned the English alphabet prior to the missionary's arrival, and he saw the value of literacy. He saw the value of the people becoming literate. So the plan, their plan was for the missionaries to be required to stay and do their mission, they had to first teach the ruling class, the Li'i, how to read and write, and eventually to to teach literacy to the Maka'ainana. That means the commoners would also be taught to read and write. And of course, with that mandate of the li'i, the missionary said, okay, shoots, we're going to do that. We're going to teach you guys how to read and write because we want to have a mission not only to teach you how to read and write, but we want to help you to read and write so that you can hear the good news of Jesus Christ and his kingdom that has come to Hawaii. So the missionaries had a great task at hand. So how do you effectively spread, right, the good news of Jesus Christ to the Hawaiians so that they could eventually, right, feed themselves? And that's why the first missionaries had to create a written language. And now this is another placard. It's in stone that's there. Maybe you can you read that there? Okay, so they came in 1820, and in 1822, 2 years later, is when they actually printed the first thing on paper, and I'll read it. In a grass house, right? Hale pili, or I should say grass shack. This site, High Chief Keaumoku pulled the first sheet into the presence of Elisha Loomis, printer, the Reverend Hiram Brigham, and James Honeywell, the mission benefactor. They were all there to witness this historic day when the alphabet was placed there and then they could actually print that for the first time two years after their arrival. So it was important because what came with now this mandate for now the people to become literate was it was the first opportunity for formal education to happen. And see, the first classes, obviously, because the missionary did not know Hawaiian, they were learning Hawaiian in the process, right? The first instructions were in English. So the alii were learning English. In fact, there is this school called the Royal School that was established in those early days, and it's still in existence today. Do you know where the Royal School is? Okay, so if you get off the H1 freeway and you take the punch bowl off ramp, you picturing this? And you're crossing Vineyard and you're going to go to Queens Hospital or go to the Capitol. If you take a look on your right, that is Royal School. And that is where the first, school happened right there, especially for the li'i and everything else that were there. And they were learning. And, the first printouts were of the alphabet, and they had to kind of form the alphabet, right, from the sounds they heard. And of course, if you have learned about Olelo o Hawaii, they would say a, e, I, o, u, right? That was other vowels, and you have the other consonants there that they had to develop through the sounds that they heard, and that was the first thing that they printed out. And of course, after that, there were reading primers that came out, and then they also, because the missionaries wanted to teach the Hawaiians to put music to their olis, their chants, there came these hymnals, right? They wanted to teach them their English hymnals, and of course, you know, they're using R there, but actually it would be L later, right? This is the first printing that they're doing, right? So they Oli'ia Ehova, right? Ke akua mau. So they're trying to Himene Hawaii, the hymns of Hawaii. That's what was first printed out on those used to print out all that in that first couple years of the missionaries being in Honolulu. And again, that was the beginning of the formal educational system as we know it, right? So the keiki, they were hungry to learn, very hungry, because of course, the ali'i, the ruling class, said, you will learn. And so all their keiki, all the ruling class's keiki would learn. You will learn to read and write. And so because this was all new for them, they were just taking this in. And eventually in April 1824, 2 years later, There was a meeting that was held in Honolulu in which the high chiefs, including the Queen Regent Ka'ahumanu, declared, and I quote this, she says this with Liholiho, to the Kingdom of Hawaii, she said this, to adhere to the instructions of the missionaries, to attend to learning, observe the Sabbath, worship God, and obey his law, and have all the people instructed. And of course, she said this out in Hawaiian. And she mandated that you should not only learn, but you should observe the Sabbath and worship God. The kingdom of Hawaii, from the king and queen of that time, said, we will be now a Christian nation. And that's why the learning of God and the learning of reading and writing became such an important aspect for the people. Because, okay, if you say we got to be following God and observing his Sabbath, we will do that as your people. And we'll do that. You see, Henry Opukahahia's heart cry was answered. His heart for his people to have an opening, an open door, so that their path could be lit up by God and his word, was now open. The gates have been opened. In fact, I want you to read. In fact, this is another book that was written. It's called Ku'u Leomele. It's the teachings. Kumu is the teachings of Leomele. Song. That is one of the books. And look at that book. If you can notice on the top left here is somebody's thumbprint, right? Because that's how small it was. They didn't have giant print like this and everything else. Just think about what went into printing, right? They didn't have ultra-thin paper, right? They printed on pretty much one side at times because of the paper quality at times. They didn't have much. The paper were thick, but it would bled through easily. So it was a task to print and a luxury to have some printed matter in hand. And again, the beginnings of formal education was great. But let's read what the psalmist read. The songwriter writes in Psalms about the Word of God from Psalm 119, 15. It is on the screen and also in your notes if you can take it out. But let's read it together. Ready, go. Your Word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. The Word of God would be, as last week Pastor Mike shared, that lamp, that light that would light the new way for the Hawaii people. Right? And it would be the new pathway they would take. They had their old rules abolished from the kapu system. Now they were open to a new way of living, a new pono way of living, where uamau ke'eo o ka'aina I ka pono, right? The life of the land would be perpetuated in Jesus' righteousness. And they would be learning about that in their schools. And this Word of God in God's very presence would light the way. And this is what Jeremiah says in 29. Let's read it together. Ready, go. Does not my word burn like fire, says the Lord? Is it not like a mighty hammer that smashes a rock to pieces? And the Word of God would be like that fire that would light the hearts of many that would read it. And it would be the mandate hammer of the li'i to say, you know what, it's going to smash the old ways, the rocks of the old ways. It's going to make way for this new stone, or this new stone. It would be Jesus Christ that would be that solid foundation for the people. And it would be for all, right? The all kanaka ma'oli, all the native Hawaiians that could hear about Jesus and the good news of God, Jesus Christ, Yesu Christo, wanting a relationship with his people. You know, there is so much to share that's beyond what I can share this morning about the specifics about how God's word was translated into Hawaiian and who was involved in the process, how long it took. That's beyond today's message. But I want to share this. The Baibala Hemolele, that's the Holy Bible, was eventually completed, and it was completed in 1839 and 1840. Just think about that now, the Bible, right? It is not just one page, two pages. It is a book of many pages. And to put to print the entire Bible, and it was a great task, not just to print the entire Bible, but also there was another task. It was to bookbind those pages, make it into a book. Right? Just think how thick that book would be. And I got to actually hold a replica of what a Hawaiian Bible in those early days would be like. And you see that I'm holding it at the Hawaiian Mission Homes room where that replica printing press is. And it's more than a book. It's like a brick. You know what I mean? It's a brick that you hold. It's just super large like this. Just think about that. Holding a Bible that was that thick. And just think about it. It was such a valued item because in those times, to have a printed piece of material was so treasured. It was so, it was only a few people that could have a printed matter. And even the whole Bible was something that only a few people had in those days. So the rest of this time this morning, I want to share with you about some of the roots of this great awakening that came with formal education, with the Hawaiian people now becoming more and more equipped now become literate or be able to read and write. You see, when they first came together, they were going to schools. They established schools. And when you think about it, what are schools, right? Well, this is formal education. They had no buildings. Right? They had no, so they had to held schools in these hale pilis, right? And if you look at the background, I was thinking, hey, that looks like Kokohed in the background. So just think about, there were, the landscape of Hawaii was like hale pilis, right? And there was outdoor preaching and learning that was taking place, right? So if it was raining, well, I guess it would be hard to kind of gather together. But when it was sunny, they would gather maybe and then under trees and they would learn from teachers. And that's what it was all about. And so, really, Mrs. Bingham, Hiram Bingham's wife, established the first Christian school in Honolulu. And you know, the students would get together. And it was told that about 40 students attended classes for 5 to 6 hours each day. And they were learning to read and write. And also, they would learn how to recite the good news of Jesus Christ every morning. And that's what took place in the early years. In about 1840, you can't see that map pretty clear, but more missionaries, more teams of missionaries came from the Boston area. Just think about more waves. It wasn't just one team. There was like 7, 8, 9, 10 teams that came. And they all went to different, they call it mission stations, all around the state of Hawaii. All around. In fact, they established a school in Lahaina, Lahaina Luna High School. It was a school for boys initially, right? And then later they started a seminary because they said, man, if we're going to start schools in Hawaii, we got to teach the Hawaiian people to be teachers and how to go around. So they started a school there. And Punahou School was one of the first schools that was established because that would be the school for the missionaries. The missionary kids would go to Punahou. And so all these ministry mission stations were being established. And the Hawaiian people in those days, again, right, were mandated to go to school. You go to school for learn palapala, right? And of course, in the midst of learning palapala, you would learn about Jesus Christ. And that's why the aim of that mission, right, that you are to aim at nothing short of covering those islands with fruitful fields. And this morning, I want to talk about that. What brought this awakening, this great awakening, and this fruitful fields to the Hawaiian people that we can celebrate today, 200 years later, that we can look back at that time to see what would be like that for us 200 years later, to see if we can be like that today with these fruitful fields of us being so hungry and open for God to come into our very own lives. So what caused the landscape of Hawaii to be fruitful fields? I want you to write in your notes, Ron, check the condition of your, and this is a Hawaiian word, Hawaiian school lesson today, your na'au. Can you say na'au? Na'au. Now, for your Hawaiians in the house, what is your na'au? It's your? Huh? Blaze, what is your na'au? You come to me a school graduate, bro. What is your na'au? You don't have to go. It is your guts. It is your insides, literally intestines. So, now, the seed of the Hawaiians was not, you know, I think we Westerners say, the seed of your is your heart, right? For the Greeks, it would be your mind. For the Hebrews, it would be your gut. Similarly, the Hawaiians would be, how is your na'au? What is the situation in your na'au? You go to Highway in Waipahu, and you go order na'au pu'a'a. What is na'au pu'a'a? It is what? Pi. pig guts. Oh, I don't know about you, but I like pig guts. I go order now. Pu'ah. You guys like that too? I don't know. I'm from Waipahu, so, you know, Hawaiian and Filipino. Oh, that's perfect combination for na'au pu'ah. Right? You laughing, right? Ernesto. Yes. So check the condition of your na'au. And Jesus wanted us to check the condition of our na'au. Did you know that? Well, he tells it in this story. And I want you to read it with me. And you can go, okay, wow. I guess the Hawaiians could understand that. Let's read it together. Jesus tells a story, okay? Jesus tells a story. Let's read it together. Ready, go. Listen. A farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his fields, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed quickly sprouted because the soil was shallow. Oh, that's hard for this. Soil was shallow, okay? The plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still, other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much that had been planted. Then he said, "Anyone who has ears to hear should listen and understand." Okay, I want you to do some Bible study. In your notes there, circle all the different types of soil. All the soil. Go ahead, right now. That's your task. Circle all the different types of soil. Okay, you guys pow. Okay, this is how they would do instruction maybe. Okay, read this and okay. How many different soils are there? How many? Try look good. You should have four. You see four? Okay. Well, let's do some Bible study. Who is the farmer? Just think, who would be the farmer in this situation? Just think. The farmer scatter seed. Right? Could be the preacher man or whoever. I would say this. Let's think it's about Jesus. He's scattering his good seed, right? The farmer is Jesus. He's scattering seed, right? Now, what is the seed? Right? Well, just think about God's good news, his good news, or his very word of God, right? He's scattering seed. God is scattering seed, okay? And what is the soil? The Western side is, right? It's your na'au. It's a situation, right, of the soil. That's your ground. Now, I would say the Hawaiians listen to seed. What kind of seed you throw? But if you show them a picture, like, oh, that's right. Well, what is that? The farmer is throwing. She is throwing a kalo or a taro, right? She's throwing. You don't throw and you don't plant that way. But just think about this picture. Oh wow! And she is standing where? In a Hawaiian, you say that's a lo'i, right? And a lo'i, and that's probably in Hanalei Valley right there. And it's so fertile because the waters from Wai'ale'ale would drain into that fertile valley there, and it would be a lo'i, and it would plant all. In fact, most of the poi we have today that's sold is from Hanalei. But it would be fertile ground. You circled the four soils right there. The first one, it landed, and what happened? The birds and what? Eat them up, right? The second one, the seeds were planted, but the soil, was it deep? No, it was shallow, and it sprouted, didn't it? But because it was shallow, the plants grew up real quick and died. How about the third one? The seeds were planted among what? Thorns, right? It grew, but oh, it was choked out with all the thorns and everything, distractions of that. Okay. And the fourth one was planted on fertile soil, a fertile open soil. And Jesus saying, listen, what is your condition of your soil, your na'au, the place where I'm going to be giving out my good seed? Now, is the seed different in each of these soils? Is it the seed different? No, the seed is all good seed, all can produce something. But it's the condition of the soil that Jesus is saying. How is your condition of you taking in? You're not out. You're actually your inner being to receive what I'm going to be telling you. Now, how can you tell the condition of your na'au? How can you tell? I want to share with you this, if you can remember this. It is not how much you know of God and His Word. It's not how much you know. It is what you do with what you know. It is what you do with what He's telling you and what He's speaking you to do. That is how you can test your condition of your now. How receptive are you when God speaks His very word? When He just with His Holy Spirit's quickening of your heart, of your now, how are you obeying and following what He says? That's how you can test. Yes, it's nice to have a lot of knowledge, a lot of His commands and His ways, His promises and everything else. But if we don't do anything and that doesn't affect our whole being and change our lives, then I think the Hawaiians would say, oh, poho dat. Then you get big head, but nothing inside. So what are you doing, what God is saying? And that's why He's saying, check the condition of your na'au. Check your condition of your na'au. Next. What caused this fertile ground, this fertile situation for the Hawaiian people? Of course, it was hunger for God and olelo akeaku. Can you say that in Hawaiian? Olelo akeakua. Olelo is what for you Hawaiians out in the house? It's what? It's olelo Hawaii, also language or word, right? Of akeakua is God. God's word. They were hungry for God and His word. And this is how Jeremiah describes in Jeremiah 15, 16. You can read the whole chapter, but he talks about the word. And let's read it, what he says. Ready, go. When I discovered your word, I devoured them. Just circle. I devoured them. Other translations say, I ate them. Right? The word of God is something that you ingest, you take in. Continue. There are my joy and my heart's delight, should be my na'au's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God of heaven's armies. He said, you know, when I discovered your words, that's what the Hawaiian people must have felt when they discovered this was God's words. Yes, mandated by the king and queen of the islands. But when they heard it, wow, God, you are beyond our own earthly king and queen. And this is your word. I want to just devour. I want to eat it and take it in. Into my whole being. And they had a hunger for God's word. You know, there was a missionary that would come in the 30s. He would come after the first wave of missionaries. And his mission station was in Hilo, Hawaii, on the Big Island, Hawaii. And his name was Titus Cohen. Have you heard about Titus Cohen? Titus Cohen would be the pastor that would actually be the one that would go out into his district. He would go around walking his district, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. He would share the good news of the love of Jesus. He would preach to so many. And he established this church in Hilo called the Haili Church. You ever heard of the Haili Church? The Haili Church on the Big Island under Titus Cohen's pastoral leadership at one time was in those days, in the 1835, 1840s, was the biggest church, not only in Hawaii, they would say the biggest church in the world. So many people came to know Jesus under Titus Cohen's ministry. So many people would be coming, and this would be coming the start of the great awakening that happened throughout Hawaii because of Titus Cohen's ministry in Hilo, and so many people came to know Lord during that time. Now, just think now. Think back in 1820 or so, right? Or 1840 when those first people were coming to know Jesus. They were putting their faith in Christ. They were getting baptized. And just think now, if somehow we could have those people come back to us today, they would come back into the culture of how Hawaii is like today. Just think, they would come and they would show up in our churches then. They would look at all of us. They'll be thinking, wow, church is still happening. Now it's not in halepilis now. It's actually places of stone where people are listening and they're listening to the word of God. And they're also noticing, wow, many people are carrying out full Bibles. They have full Bibles in their hand. Maybe not like New Hope guys, but you know what I mean? They have full Bibles available to them. They have at their fingertips. In fact, you guys carrying around a small brick. What is that brick? that look like that brick. Wow. And you can actually look at the word of God on your brick. No ways. And not only can you look at the word of God, the brick can talk. The brick can talk and can share the word of God. You can listen to the word of God. Wow. You Hawaiians of today, you don't look like us, but you know, all immigrants came later, but right? You look different, but hey, you must be solid in your faith. You must know so many of God's promises because God's promises are so available to you. You must be so learned in God's ways and walking up in righteousness because of the word of God that you have in your hand. And then they would notice, how come in your halls, your homes, the word of God is the whole is just sitting there and get dust on top? How come? How come the stuff's so clean? How come it's not the page is not worn and red? Why? Why isn't all the pages dog-eared? Why don't you have markings in your Bible of the promises God has given you? I would wonder if they would think like that. Because in those days, they would hunger after just having heard or having just given written words of God to them. Because again, printing and what they had was such a luxury. I don't wonder what they would say to us today for what we have. So I share that today. Where is our hunger for God and His Word? And I'm thinking, you know, because I think much of the condition of our na'au is like that third seed. That we're choked out of because so many things that are coming into our life. So many things that we feel can fill us, right? And chokes us out. We think that can fill our na'au, our lives. But what happens is it's not really filling us. It's really making us more empty. But we think that we should be filling it with other things instead of God's presence and His very words. Does that make sense? I think we need to evaluate and check where are we like right now. And sometimes it takes God to shake up our lives, to bring us to a point where we're desperate for Him through a life difficulty, a difficulty. Maybe some of you are here in church because you are going through a life difficulty. Be hungry for God and His presence and His word to remind you of His promises for you and who you are and how He sees you. Because when you receive that and you hold on to that, that will fill your na'au, you'll fill your being. Remember that. And lastly, I want you to write your notes. Accept your, this is another Hawaiian word and you probably heard if you've been living in Hawaii, accept your, can you say kuleana? Kuleana. To ingest daily food. What does kuleana mean for those in Hawaii? It means your. It literally, loosely translated, is it's your responsibility. Okay? Really, part of that is not just your responsibility to accept something. It's actually your rights. It's your rights for something. It's like, what you mean your rights? Yeah. It's not just your response. It's your rights that God has given you to take in and ingest, to take in and to allow. He has given you His very precious words and His promises, His very presence that's contained in His very word. So much so that Jesus said, you know what? I mean, God, before Jesus came into the world, He says, my word became flesh. My word, my very words became flesh. Lived for a while among you, full of grace and truth. That's me, Jesus. You can find, right? Jesus in His word. So we have to accept your kuleana. All of us have a kuleana to say, God, you have given us your great and precious word. Your word will direct us to your very presence. Are we taking up the kuleana because of what we have been given? You see, in those days, they accepted His word like this. Deuteronomy 32:47. Let's read it. Let me give you a context for this. This is happening. This is shared by Moses right before he would pass the leadership baton to Joshua, who Joshua would now take the people into the promised land. You remember this situation if you've been in church? In the promised land. Moses didn't get to go, but he said, you know, Joshua, you go and you be the leader, but I want to instruct the people this. And this is what he said to the people. Let's read it. Ready, go. These instructions are not what? Empty words. They are your life. By obeying them, you will enjoy a long life in the land you will occupy when you cross the Jordan River. When you cross the Jordan River, you're going to reach this land of promise. For the Hawaiian people, the good news had come to the shores of Hawaii with the promise of Keakua, of God, and His word. And He says, you know what, guys? Make this your life. Make God and His word your life. Because when you do, you'll know who you are. You, most importantly, you'll know who you are to Him. You will know how to live in His righteous ways. You will know to have great and amazing promises for your life. He will give you some guidance in how to navigate the ways of your life with your families, with your jobs, with the relationships we have. Make it your life. Make it your life. You know, in those early days, because people didn't have Bibles, they would be printing out tracts for people to have, and they would be passing it out and everything else like that. And they would call it Aino Kala. Can you say Aino Kala? Aino Kala. And we say Aino Kala. For the Hawaiians in the house, food in Hawaiian is mea ai. So short for food is ai. So Aino Kala. La is day. So it was food for the day. So they would give out tracts. Aino Kala. Aino Kala to you. Aino Kala. Aino Kala. Aino Kala. To you, food. And then they would take these tracts and go, oh, this is God's word for me for the day, right? And then for as they meet other times, they would give you Aino Kala. Aino Kala for you. Aino Kala. And would pass out Aino Kala for the day. And they would just like, wow, this is food for my soul, for my na'au, for my whole being to take in. Sounds familiar, doesn't it, right? The people who, right before they got the instructions from Moses, they were in the wilderness, and God, they were so hungry, right? So God said, okay, you hungry? I'm going to give you what? From heaven. I'm going to give you manna, right? Manna for your daily food. Every day you go out, you go pick up some manna to fill you. Do you keep that manna for the next day? No, because if you keep them for the next day, it's going to spoil. So he said, I'm going to give you daily food. You ingest the daily food, and that's for you to be sustained. And I say, God has given us His daily food, right? We give out daily breads and everything. Ingest that for today. No, hold on for tomorrow, right? Ingest that for today. God has His words for you for every day to guide you, to remind you who you are again, that you're a precious daughter and amazing man of God. He has great plans for you and great promises. But that's a word for you today. He'll give you another word for tomorrow. Do we approach God like that? That's the question of our for us today. Hey, I got to share with you this. This message comes in an amazing place in my life. You know why? After 31 years, I can proudly share that the completion of the Hawaii Pidgin Bible, Opaona. That should be a celebratory, like, yay. In your notes is a QR code, yeah? You can take a picture there, and you see them in your notes, the QR code. You see them. Check them out. You get them. You go, try look, I said. Try is like, please. In Hawaiian, in Hawaii Pidgin. Chaluk means please look. Chaluk. You go take a picture of that. You go and go take you to the Facebook page and go give you all the ways that you can get the digital copy. Go get the digital copy at your fingertips because in May or June time, the whole print Bible gonna come out. For sure, for real kind. Gonna come out and the people of Hawaii, the voice of Hawaii for the people I know today. Not you guys. You guys know standard English. For the people I know out there that not going to come church because they don't understand standard English. Maybe they understand them here, but don't understand them here. They got to hear this word. And they're not just going to hear them and read them because the guys who need them, they're not going to read. They're going to like need for hear them, right? We had to develop one standard for how for right Hawaii pigeon. I said we, the team. It's not me. It's the team had to come together. So there's a standard that we created. And people go reading about hot for read. You know what I'm saying? But they're going, there's a vision I have that it's going to come and it's going to be audio. Maybe not my voice. It's going to get other people can speak Hawaii pigeon more better than me. You know what I mean? But going to come audio. When you say, hey, Itra, listen this. They're going to listen to him. And they go, wow. I like trust Christ. I like come solid in him. I like know his promise. So I get to share that 31 years later. The bug are going to come in May. And we're going to dedicate this to the whole Hawaii. Isn't that good news? You my church, guys. Well, come out. Dear Heavenly Father, may that be our heart's desire, that you would speak your word. Heavenly Father, you have been speaking loudly. The question is, God, are we listening very intently? And I pray that we would receive, God, Heavenly Father, your very words intently into our whole being. They will affect us to the point of it would gather into our now and translate into a place where we can live out, Lord, your word. May we, Lord, receive this kuleana that you've given us, Lord. Accept it into our life to say, Lord, we have this amazing, amazing, precious promises that you've given us. Heavenly Father, you've promised your very presence in our very lives. You are the one that will make a way open for us. You are the one who is the one who lights our path. You are the one that can break strongholds, that you can heal. Lord, there are people in the house that need to know that you can heal. There are people in the house that need to know that you will provide. And your very words, your very promises tell us so. And this morning, Lord, may we receive and understand that that's what you want for all of us, to respond to your very presence. And would you just walk in the presence and power of the Lord and his word. Until next week, we say aloha.